All right, welcome back to the deep dive. Today we're looking at a really interesting case. It's Massachusetts Museum of Contemporary Art v. Bushell. And I think this one really highlights, the clash that sometimes happens, between art and the law. And the big question here is, can an artist actually legally stop a museum from showing a piece that the artist thinks is unfinished?
Well, that's right at the heart of it, right? You've got this tension between what the museum might want to do and what the artist feels is right for their work.
Yeah.
And to really dig into that, you have to understand this law, the Visual Artists' Rights Act. We call it VAR for short.
Yeah, VAIR, yeah.
And VAR, it's kind of interesting, because it goes a step beyond just who owns a piece of art. It's actually about protecting the artists, their personal connection to the work, their what we call their moral rights.
Mm-hmm.
And a really important part of those moral rights is the right to prevent, distortions, modifications, anything that could damage the artist's reputation.
Makes sense.
So the Bushell case, the real core of it, is figuring out if these rights, these moral rights under VARO, if they even apply when the artist is saying, hey, this piece isn't even done yet.
Okay, so let's back up a minute and set the scene here. This all started back in 2006. We've got this Swiss artist, Christoph Bushell, and he partners up with Mathis MoCA, the Massachusetts Museum of Contemporary Art, to create this huge installation. They called it Training Ground for Democracy. It was like this massive critique of American politics.
It was. Yeah. I mean, from what I understand, this thing was it was meant to be on a scale that could fill a football field. That's huge.
Yeah. Really ambitious. And the museum was going to provide this giant space for it and pay for all the materials.
Mm-hmm. And, it's pretty interesting because for a project of this this size, this ambition, there wasn't a really detailed written contract,
Yeah.
Like a contract that really spelled out all the specifics, who had what kind of control over the artistic direction, what the deadlines were, what would happen if there were, disagreements, that kind of thing. And as you might guess, that lack of a formal agreement, it really ended up becoming a pretty big problem later on.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it seems like with a project that big, you definitely want to have everything, laid out in writing.
Right.
So as you might expect, disagreements did start popping up, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Like there were arguments about the costs, deadlines started getting missed, and Bushell, he felt like the museum staff were messing with the installation, right. Making changes without his approval. And so things got, pretty tense, and eventually Bushell just decided, okay, I'm walking away. This work's unfinished, and it's not what I intended it to be.
And this is where it gets really interesting, because Mass MoCA, they had already put a lot of time and money into this project, right?
Yeah.
So they decided to keep working on the installation even without Bushell. They even added some of their own elements to it, like tarps and tires, and they said they were going to display it as a work in progress. But with disclaimers saying it wasn't finished and that Bushell didn't approve of it.
Wow. So they basically said, we're going to finish this ourselves and just let everyone know that the original artist isn't happy with it.
Pretty much.
That's pretty bold. So what did Bushell do?
Well, I mean, you can imagine he was not happy about this, right? He felt like his artistic integrity was being completely disregarded.
Mm-hmm.
And that, this could really damage his reputation as an artist. So he sued Mass MoCA. He filed a lawsuit claiming that they were violating his rights, both under VAR, the Visual Artists' Rights Act we talked about, and under copyright law, which, gives artists the right to control how their work is displayed publicly.
Right. So the first round in court, the district court actually sided with the museum, right?
Yeah, that's right. The district court basically said that VAR didn't prevent Mathis MoCA from showing this unfinished work, especially if they included those disclaimers.
Okay.
But that wasn't the end of the story. Bushell, he appealed that decision. And the First Circuit Court of Appeals, they partially reversed the district court's ruling. And this is where it gets really interesting for anyone who's, into art law. Because the appellate court said that VAR protection, it could actually apply to works that the artist considers incomplete.
Mm. So let's break down exactly what the First Circuit was looking at here, legally speaking. Because they were basically grappling with two main questions, right? One, does VAR even apply to a work of art that the artist says isn't finished? And two, did Mass MoCA's actions, making those changes and planning to exhibit it, did that actually cross the line and violate Bushell's rights under VAR?
Yeah, exactly. That's a really good way to put it. They had to figure out if the law even applied in this situation, and then if it did, whether the museum actually broke the law.
So, first things first, does Vieira cover unfinished art? What did the court say about that?
Well, on that first question, the court was really clear. They said, Vieira does protect unfinished works. Now, the law itself, it talks about works of art, and it defines those based on, you know, copyright law. But it doesn't actually say anywhere that those works have to be finished, you know, totally complete to be protected by those moral rights. And the court, their thinking was, an artist's, you know, their vision, their connection to their work, that exists right from the start, from the moment they start creating. Even if the piece isn't, you know, totally done, it's not like you have to wait until the very last brush stroke or you know, weld or whatever it is before you have rights in your work. So they basically rejected the idea that a work has to be finished to be protected by Vieira.
Yeah, and I think that makes sense. I mean, think about it from the artist's point of view. Their reputation can be just as damaged by a distorted early version of their work as by a finished one that's been messed with.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if something's out there with your name on it, it doesn't really matter if you consider it finished or not. People are going to associate it with you.
Exactly.
So, okay, so Vieira does apply to unfinished work. What about that second question? Did Massismoca actually violate Buchel's rights under VIR? Yeah, so on that second question, the First Circuit, they basically said, look, there's a lot of factual stuff here that still needs to be figured out in court. You know, Buchel, he was arguing that the changes the museum made, things like those tarps they put up, that those fundamentally distorted his artistic vision and that that could hurt his reputation. And the court, they agreed that a jury should be the one to decide whether those changes actually met Vieira's, you know, legal standard. You know, whether those changes were prejudicial to the artist's honor or reputation, as the law puts it.
So basically, they sent it back to the lower court to let a jury sort out whether what the museum did was actually harmful to Buchel.
Exactly.
Okay, and then there was the copyright issue too, right? Like, even if Vieira applied, was there a chance that Massismoca was also infringing on Buchel's copyright, you know, his right to control how his work is displayed?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a whole other layer to this case. So the court, they recognized that even an unfinished work is still protected by copyright. So by planning to, you know, show this installation publicly without Buchel's permission and Massismoca, they could potentially be violating his exclusive right to decide how and when his work is displayed. And this was another reason why the First Circuit thought the district court's initial decision was, you know, too quick. They said, no, this copyright issue, this also needs to be looked at more closely.
Okay.
Now, Buchel, he also made a claim that the museum's changes created a derivative work, which, you know, under copyright law, you can't do without the original artist's permission. But the court wasn't convinced that he had made a strong enough argument on that particular point.
All right. So let's go back to Vieira for a second. When we talk about the right of integrity that Vieira protects, what does an artist actually have to prove to show that their right of integrity has been violated?
Well, generally speaking, under Vieira, an artist has to show two things. First, that someone intentionally distorted, mutilated, modified, or destroyed their work. And second, that this action actually harmed their honor or reputation.
Okay, so it can't just be an accident or something like that. It has to be intentional.
Right.
And it has to actually damage their reputation.
Right. So in this case, in Buchel's case, his argument really focused on those alterations the museum made, you know, especially those tarps, and the fact that they were going to show the work in a state that he considered incomplete and just not representative of what he intended. And the court, they emphasized that even changes that might seem minor, you know, on the surface, could still potentially misrepresent the artist's original vision.
Makes sense.
And that a jury could definitely decide that, you know, that kind of misrepresentation, that could hurt the artist's, you know, professional standing.
Now, if I remember correctly, the museum argued that the disclaimers they were going to put up with the installation, that those would basically cancel out any potential damage to Buchel's reputation. But the quote didn't agree with that, right?
Nope, they didn't buy it. The First Circuit, they specifically talked about those disclaimers and basically said, look, under VAR, what really matters is the potential harm to the artist's reputation that's caused by the modification itself. You know, it's not about what the audience might think after they've read a disclaimer.
Right.
VA is all about protecting the artist's connection to their work, their artistic integrity. And that's really different from, you know, economic rights, which are covered by copyright law. With copyright, disclaimers might sometimes matter, but with VAR, it's really about the art itself.
Okay, so zooming out a bit, what's the big takeaway from this case? Why should someone interested in law, especially, you know, law students were listening, why should they pay attention to Masses Mukka v. Buchel?
I think this case is a really, really important one for artists' rights. By saying, you know, straight up, that VRA protects unfinished work, the court gave artists some real protection throughout their creative process. Not just, you know, after a piece is considered done. This ruling changes how we think about artistic control. Mm-hmm. It says that an artist's vision is worth protecting from the very beginning, even before it ends up in a gallery. It says that an artist's intent has legal value from the get-go.
Yeah.
But it's also a bit of a warning, you know, especially for artists and institutions who are working together, because, you know, if they'd had a clear written contract in this case, a lot of these disputes might have been avoided.
That's a good point.
So for you law students out there, this case really shows you how important it is to have those well-written agreements in any kind of collaboration, especially in the art world, where, you know, artistic control and integrity are such big deals.
Yeah. And from a legal perspective, for the law students listening, this is a really great example of what we call statutory interpretation. The First Circuit, they didn't get bogged down in technicalities. They looked at the plain language of VR, what the law actually said, and they looked at the purpose of the law, what it was designed to do for artists.
Exactly.
And they used that to make a decision that made sense in the real world.
Yeah, this case, it's right at the intersection of art, law, and power dynamics.
Yeah. Right?
It's a good reminder that even works that are still in progress, even if they're not, you know, quote unquote, finished, they still have legal weight.
Yeah.
And institutions, museums, they can't just assume they have control over an artist's work without their permission or without respecting their basic moral rights.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into Massachusetts Museum of Contemporary Art v. Buchel, here's something to think about. Given that VI protects unfinished works, what does that mean for the art world as a whole? How does this affect the balance between an artist's freedom of expression and, you know, the control that museums and other institutions have over works that are still, you know, evolving? Especially when artists' intentions might be, you know, open to interpretation or even, you know, really disputed.
Yeah, that's a big one.
It's a complicated area with a lot to consider as you all continue on your legal journeys.
It really is. It makes you think about, you know, how the law finds a work of art in the first place and how we figure out that relationship, you know, that tricky relationship between the people who create art and the institutions that show it to the world.
Well, on that note, we're going to wrap up this episode of The Deep Dive. Thanks for joining us. Catch you next time.
See you then.